Okay, now we're going to talk about the damage that results from sexual abuse. And this is on page 5 through 8 in your staff training manual. Again, continue to fill in the blanks. Damage resulting from sexual abuse. First of all, relationships. Powerlessness is the first issue. Because the nature of abuse involves the absence of power. And abusers spend huge amounts of their time and energy for the rest of their lives trying to control their worlds, trying to control their relationships and the outcome of every event. And they have a very difficult time developing satisfying relationships because they're frequently such controlling and manipulative people. The next place of damage in a relationship is betrayal. Survivors of abuse have a strong sense of how people have failed them, and because of this, it destroys their ability to get close to people and creates some tremendous intimacy issues for them and difficulties as they mature. And finally, confusion over what is normal, what is a normal desire for affection and love, because oftentimes the normal desire for affection and love has been connected to being abused, and so they struggle with knowing what their needs are, to know how those needs should be met, to know what is normal, to know what's not normal, to know what's appropriate, to know what's not inappropriate, what's inappropriate. Survivors usually develop various ways of relating to people, fill in the blank, that are harmful to themselves or others. And while each survivor does this in a different way, ultimately they use their behaviors to control other people and to gain power as they perceive power to be. There are three main patterns that usually emerge in survivors of sexual abuse, three main relational styles. And again, these relational styles serve the survivor to create in them some sense that they're in control of their world or controlling relationships. The first relational style that some survivors develop is the easygoing relational style. And these are people who have learned to avoid pain by avoiding conflict. These are people that appear to be nice, very giving, but they're always careful not to reveal too much about themselves. They don't expose much of what their true thoughts or their true feelings are. Very rarely do they have an opinion because they don't want to risk having an opinion. They're people pleasers, but they are people that are full of self-contempt. They're martyrs, but at the same time they're nice and emotionally dead. In The Wounded Heart that Dan Allender wrote, he calls this relational style, if it's a woman, the good girl, or if it's a man, the nice boy. But again, they use the easygoing relational style to control and manipulate their environment. The next relational style that other survivors develop is the strong, tough, independent relational style. These are people who resist the need to need. They have a great deal of contempt for people, and they work very, very hard to be always smart, to be always prepared, to be always in charge. And these are people who will rarely, rarely admit that they need anything. They fear intimacy more than anything else. They're usually explosive, task-oriented, very organized, extremely combative, and unbelievably lonely. In The Wounded Heart, Dan Allender calls this relational style the tough girl or the macho boy, and these are people who have learned to be so strong, to be so tough, that they push everything away, and by doing that, they have a sense that they're somehow in control of their world. And the third relational style that other survivors develop is the life of the party. And these are people who are always ready for a good time, and they use that as a way to avoid intimacy. They view themselves as unworthy of love or respect. They're people who are tremendously fun to be around, but at the same time, they're not particularly loyal in any relationship. And again, commitment terrifies them, and they frequently seem shallow. They may flirt and tease or exude sexuality to gain control and power. These are people who are chaotic and complicated, and they fluctuate between self-contempt and other-centered contempt. And frequently, if these people become Christians, they will use God to get them through life, to clean up their messes, and oftentimes will become spiritual seducers if they go into ministry. Dan Allender calls this relational style the party girl or the seductive boy. And again, all of these relational styles are developed as a way of control and a way of surviving. And frequently you'll see people that you work with, or maybe even yourself, you'll see people fluctuate from one relational style to the other, which one serves them best. Again, the easygoing person hates themselves. The strong, independent person hates everybody else, and the life of the party hates both themselves and everybody else. So these are some relational styles that survivors frequently manifest. And then we're going to talk about the damage to sexual relationships, fill in the blank, sexual relationships. Because abuse is a sexual act, the sexual relationship obviously is one that's damaged. Survivors often struggle with their sexual drive, fill in the blank, and their sexual behaviors, and they tend to sexualize everything and everyone. Somebody who's been sexually abused, the centerpiece of their life usually revolves around some sort of sexual theme. Because of their fear, fill in the blank, fear of intimacy, sex becomes a search for fulfillment. And the sexualization of intimacy occurs when a survivor confuses intimacy with sexual arousal. And this sets them up to become sexually involved again and again and again with one person after the next, because they equate sex with intimacy and intimacy with sex. Next, sex is separated from love and caring, and they are able to have sex without love or commitment. Or sex is used as proof of love and is used as a way to express power. Or sometimes I see people who use sex as a way to express rage. Next, sexual addiction is a common problem in which there is a constant craving for sexual experience. Sexual codependency may develop where survivors use sex to control others. Sexual bartering may be used by some survivors, in order to gain commitment from others. Many survivors discover that they can use sex as a way of controlling outcomes of relationships. Next, sexual dysfunction often results, leaving survivors with inhibited sexual desires and inability to experience orgasm, fear of sex, or pain. Sexual perversion is often experienced as survivors seek mood, fill in the blank, mood-altering experiences through abnormal sexual behavior. And these experiences often leave them empty, full of self-contempt, and contempt for their sexual partners as well. And then we're going to talk about the damage to the relationship with God, fill in the blank, God. God is viewed as distant and cruel, and sometimes as another abuser, fill in the blank. Violated trust makes a survivor wonder if God can be trusted. And the hardest question every survivor needs to answer is, where was God and why did he allow this to happen to me? I'd like for you to write this down on your notes. The lies feel like the truth. The lies feel like the truth. And the truth feels like betrayal. And our big challenge as we work with people who are sexual abuse survivors is to help them begin this great exchange, to replace the lies with the truth, and to begin to exchange death for life. And that is the challenge that we face as we work with these damaged people. And now we're going to talk about the lies that survivors believe.